That song, it certainly speaks to my heart. I'm usually convicted as I read, as I think of the words of that. Just that first verse, because it says, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine." And then it says this, "For thee, all the follies of sin I resign." Well, I'd like to say that I bat 1,000 with that, but I don't always bat 1,000 with that. I mean, I like to think that I have put everything behind me, Lord, and it's all you. Well, that wouldn't be truthful. I mean, that is my heart's desire. I don't want you to think that it's not my goal. That certainly is, but I know that I fall so far short. And then it says, "My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." I just think that this is that hymn. It's one of those hymns that is just so high that it's just hard to reach unto. But the Lord knows our hearts. I know I love the Lord, and I know you love the Lord as well, but I certainly do fall short. But that hymn, what a blessing. All right, great to see you again. I'm glad you're here. Are you glad you guys are here in church?
Amen.
Amen. I know you're glad. I know you wouldn't brave those roads if you didn't enjoy coming to church. All right, I want you to turn to Psalm 119. That's the great psalm that has 176 verses in it. It speaks about the Word of God. It's a tremendous, tremendous psalm. And I want to speak on a section here. We're going to look at verse 65 in just a moment, but it's about upon the subject of affliction and trials. Upon afflictions and trials that we all face. That's why we read those verses out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, that we're appointed thereunto. You know, yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's part of what we face as a child of God. And when we truly, really want to live for the Lord and serve Him, then the devil certainly looks to try to discourage us, to try to take us down. So I want to speak specifically on why God uses trials and afflictions. Every one of us have gone through some. That's part of our life. It's, probably most of us have dealt with trials and obstacles and afflictions in the common category. And some of you have gone through some extreme trials. Some of you have dealt with cancers and the loss of loved ones, and you've gone through some really, really difficult trials. But God is good, and His grace is sufficient, isn't it? The Lord is wonderful that way. Now, none of us wants to go through adversity. That's not something that we're wired for, right? I mean, there's nobody here that wants to go through adversity. Of course not. We want things nice. We want things pleasant. We like to be in our comfort zone. But this morning, I want to communicate to you just how needful it is for us to have challenges in our lives and difficulties and afflictions in this life. In fact, I'm going to say this, that without any fear of contradiction that I say this, and that is that if we live this life without ever having to go through any hardships or any burdens or trials of some sort, we would really be pretty worthless as human beings. We would, because, God allows those trials to shape us and to develop us so that we would become useful. So we would be of little use to God or to our brothers and sisters in Christ if we didn't have to go through some trials that the Lord has set up for us. It's been said that great trials are often necessary to prepare us for great responsibilities. Great trials are often necessary to prepare us for great responsibilities. So we must ask this question, why is it that God uses affliction in our lives? Why is it that God uses affliction in our lives? And first of all, just a description or a definition of affliction, just a real simple one, is something that causes pain or suffering. To some level, to some degree, something that causes pain or suffering. Sometimes that can be on the physical level. There are some things that we deal with on the physical level, some things that maybe you or I were born with, maybe some sort of birth defect. that you have just been tagged with and you have to carry through the rest of your life. Maybe it was some kind of a disorder that you have to deal with. Maybe you have issues with your heart, a heart problem. Maybe you deal with arthritis. You know, if you don't deal with arthritis now, it's just a matter of time before old Arthur comes around to visit you. Yeah, arthritis seems like it makes its way into every one of our lives eventually. But maybe you've dealt with arthritis as a young person. Maybe you deal with diabetes, maybe some kind of a crippling injury, some eye-related problems, some issues that come over time that just happen with aging, all right? That's just something that slowly happens to every one of us as we get old. Maybe afflictions and trials have come upon you on the emotional or the mental level. Maybe you had a difficult upbringing. I mean, I know some of you just from testimonies, the upbringings that you had. Maybe it was not ideal. Maybe you were in an abusive situation and you had to deal with an awful lot, and you look back and it was anything but, you know, the Leave It to Beaver household, right? Maybe you had suffered some great loss from the past. Maybe it was the loss of a child, of a spouse. Maybe some abuses that you suffered from. Maybe some traumatic experience that you went through. Maybe a shortcoming of sorts. Maybe you had a stammering issue, or again, a bad childhood experience. Maybe a long string of failures has come your way, and it just seemed to hang over your head through the years, or maybe just some insecurities that have never gone away. So with that, let's turn here, as we're already in Psalm 119, verses 65 through 67, the very first part of verse 67, but we'll read those couple of verses before that. And it says here in verse 65, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." And then the very first part of verse 67 says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So we're looking at why God uses afflictions and trials. Well, the first reason that I want to look at as to why God uses afflictions is because we are prone to stray. We have this part in us, this part of our DNA that, you know, we're like sheep that have gone astray. And for that reason, just as it says there, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." We'll talk about that first point and the points to follow. But let's have a word of prayer. Let's go before the Lord and ask Him to bless at this time. Father, we do thank You for the opportunity to gather together. And Lord, what a blessing it is to have the fellowship that we're able to have with one another. We thank You that we can talk about, just the things that we deal with in our lives. And we talk about, you know, things we have in common. It's good. But Lord, the best type of fellowship that we have is when we talk about the things of Christ and we talk about what You are doing in our lives. And so I thank You that we can gather together and have that from meeting time to meeting time. It is a great blessing. So we thank You that we've had the opportunity to gather together today. With the weather being as it is and those roads being icy, I pray, Father, that You'd watch out over everyone here as they go out and about, when we leave here, that You'll keep everyone safe. I pray for those who are not able to get here, that You would help them to get all of the ice off of their driveways and some of the things that they've had to deal with that kept them from being here. Lord, we pray for Your hand of protection on every one of them. Now, we thank You again, Lord, that we can gather together and sing unto You. And Lord, we heard a wonderful special just a little bit ago. And then, Lord, we thank You that we can open up Your word. We thank You, Lord, that Your word, it gives us knowledge. Lord, we thank You that You teach us things from Your word. You teach us why it is we go through some of the things that we go through. We don't always know why, but we know that You use them in our lives. Sometimes we resist them. Sometimes we We balk at them, and sometimes we can become indignant over them. But would you teach us, Lord? Help us to have wisdom. Help us to submit to you. Help us to know that everything that you allow in our life, it doesn't come from a God who's malicious in any way. Lord, you're so kind, and you're so long-suffering, and you're compassionate. You allow things in our life, and you use those things in our life to make us more like Christ. You use these things in our life to develop us and mature us. Help us to understand that. Help us to just simply walk by faith. And so I pray that you'll bless this now. Speak to our hearts. Help us to have ears to hear. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of God could do his work in and amongst us. You know all of the needs that are represented here. And Lord, you know, again, the afflictions and the trials that people are going through right now. And I pray, Father, you'll put your hand upon them. And I pray, Father, that that Christ would be glorified more than anything else. So, Father, thank you. I pray you'll put me to the side. I pray, Father, for an anointing of the Spirit of God. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it says right there very, very quickly in that passage, we're going to look at verses 65 all the way through verse 76. And in that stretch is very clearly speaks about afflictions. It speaks about afflictions that happen in our life. And one of the clear reasons that God brings afflictions in our lives is this first point that I brought up to you is because we are so prone to stray. We're prone to just get away from the things of God. It's just kind of part of our DNA. It's part of the curse. It's part of that old fallen nature that is within us. And I'm sure you can relate to it because I certainly can. You know, in that, it's Tommy, right? Tommy, thank you again for that. In that that special that he brought forth, in that verse that I read, it's like, man, I want my heart to follow the Lord with all of my heart, but I don't bat 1,000 with that, and I'm just trying to be transparent with you. I'm not trying to be a phony, not at all, but I just fall short. Sometimes it gets to be about me sometimes. Does it ever get to be about you instead of the things of the Lord? Yeah, we all fall short in that way, but that's, again, that's just an old nature that we're all, you know, we're all privy to. It's all part of us. Those of us who don't think that it has any effect on us, I don't think that we're dealing with reality. That old nature's there. We're to have victory over it, but the old nature's there. And sometimes we succumb to it. Sometimes all it takes is just a little slide off into the ditch on a day like today. And then it's like, you know, it's not usually praise the Lord, hallelujah, that comes right out of our lips at first. Maybe in a minute or two we thank the Lord for it, but usually there's a little grumblings and because we can go right to the old nature so quickly. So listen, we are all, again, wired that way. Just like in the lines of that hymn, Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling today, why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Now, I believe that's speaking to a lost person initially. And, you know, when God was trying to reach us, many times we pushed the Lord away. Did you do that for a time? Probably many of us, to some level, we push the Lord. Oh, no, I don't want to get saved. You know, you have your friends talking to you about the Lord, and I'm okay. I don't need the Lord right now. And that speaks to that, but even believers do that as well. Many times we are just prone to stray and to want to figure things out on our own and to push the Lord off. Quite often, it doesn't take much for us to stray. It's, again, it's just there. A simple suggestion can get us off track. It doesn't take a whole lot. I'm reminded of my boys when they played T-ball. And T-ball is like the funniest. It's just the greatest. Did you guys play T-ball? I'm looking at, you know, Deacon plays baseball. Probably played some T-ball, maybe. Remember those days? Now, maybe it didn't happen with Deacon or Zayden or some of you other guys that played some T-ball, but that's like 4 or 5-year-olds. They probably even start them off sooner than that. You know, they're trying to hit that ball off the tee, and when they're really little, that tee is probably like pretty high. My son was playing right field one time, and my son, you know, I'm saying, okay, son, focus, and he's standing there, and a little butterfly goes by, and he's chasing after the butterfly. I'm, son, no, focus on the hitter. Focus on the hitter. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to distract a little guy like that, but, you know, sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot to distract us. And sometimes we just get distracted. Sometimes it's just this or that, or you can fill in the blank, and it just takes us slowly away from what we should focus on. the things of the Lord. We get sidetracked so easily. The devil is a great suggester. He likes to just kind of put things in our ear and keep us away from the things of God. Well, what about this? What about that? Oh, yeah. And then when we're supposed to be just riveted on the things of the Lord, we get sidetracked so easily. It says in Psalm 119, the very last verse says this, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. That is so true of every one of us. Sometimes we are so prone to stray because of someone's poor example. Someone is maybe not the best example to us. Peter became a stumbling block to Barnabas and to others because of his hypocrisy. You read that in Galatians chapter 2. We won't turn there, but Peter had become a little bit of a hypocrite in the situation. He was saying one thing out of his mouth and doing something else, and he needed to be rebuked over it, and he was. The Apostle Paul got in there, and they had a little bit of a heated time. But listen, that can happen with every one of us. Sometimes we just get caught off, and we get distracted, and we can end up being a stumbling block to somebody else. It doesn't take much, folks, to get us off the path. And whenever we do get off the path, folks, we are heading toward danger. It's at this point that the Lord, in His wisdom, and the Lord is so good, in His wisdom, He knows how to handle us, just as we do with our children. When our children would get off, there was things that we would use, some resources that would keep them from doing the wrong things. We had a little friend at our home. He was called Mr. Paddle. And Mr. Paddle was, he just hung on the wall, and the kids used to like to look at Mr. Paddle and just wish that he would always stay on the wall. I won't go any further, but Mr. Paddle came into use. I look at my daughter back there, and I think she had some meetings with Mr. Paddle. Not a whole bunch. My other kids, they seem to have more personal time with Mr. Paddle. But listen, when they're little, you warn them not to go into the street. And if they persist, what do? You afflict them, right? You afflict them, but you do it in a good way. Is it because you hate them? No, of course not. You love them, and you want them to do what's right. And folks, the Lord, it's the same thing with the Lord. The Lord doesn't do that for the wrong reasons. He does it because He loves us. Someone once said this, often our trials act as a thorn hedge to keep us in the good pasture, but our prosperity is a gap through which we go astray. Did you get that? God uses affliction as a thorn hedge to keep us right into the good pasture. And many times when we're prosperous and everything's going our way, we can take our eyes off of the Lord, and that ends up being a gap through which we go astray. That's just a great, great saying. It's just a great saying that we need to take to heart. Now, understand today that, listen, not all affliction is brought into our lives because we're being chastened or because of disobedience. Many times the Lord just allows some trials and afflictions in our life to just strengthen us and to bring us more toward the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may just be to refine us and to bring us to a higher level of usefulness. So I know this quite well, because I know coming into 2024, my prayer again was, Lord, I want to go further in my Christian life, and I want You to be able to use me to a greater level. And so, you know, when you pray that, you're going to allow something to be brought into your life. Right. Now, you guys know in sports, I look at Josh over here and Micah and all you guys that play sports, man, you know that if you're going to be brought to a higher level, then it's not going to happen if you're sloppy with your practices. It's not going to happen if you're sloppy in your training. You got to work hard at it, and then it pays off when you're out on the court or out on the field. You see the difference. You put in the hard yards, correct? That's just on a human, physical level. Well, that same truth carries over into spiritual things as well, that we're going to have to go through some tough times and some difficulties, because we want to be used at a higher level for the Lord. So I know coming into 2024, I pray, Lord, I want you to be able to use me. I want to be closer to you this year. I want you to be able to use me to a higher level. We're praying that, Lord, would you give us, you know, broader shoulders to be able to bear greater burdens. Well, with all of that is going to come some more trials and some more difficulties in life. Because, last year I knew I sensed it. I sense it this year. I just sense that I'm out in deeper waters. Do you get that feeling? You're like, you know, you remember as a kid, you kind of like to want to hang around the 3-foot line in the swimming pool at the hotel, you know, when you're a little kid, right? And then it's like, oh, you know, and you tell your brothers, I dare you to swim out there where it says 6 or 7. Yeah. Oh, no, you go. I dare you. I double dog dare you, you know, and all of that. And so, you know, as time goes on, you know, we want to go and reach higher levels. We want to go out and face greater challenges. And God takes us out, just as he said to Peter in Luke chapter 5, when he said, launch out into the deep, Peter. Now, Peter, of course, was familiar with those oceans, with that lake, the Lake of Gennesaret. But he was saying to him, launch out into the deep because I have some lessons I want to show you. And he certainly had lessons for those disciples. And he wants to do the same with you and I. And with that will certainly come some testing ground, some things that will happen. But if we want to be useful, then that's going to be a part of our life. Now, listen, again, it's not always done for the purpose of chastising us. Again, it may just be because he just is developing you and there's a heart in you. So now, it may be for some affliction that has caused us to stray from him. Do understand that he loves you, he cares for you and I, and he wants us to be in fellowship with him. And I'm so grateful that the Lord does that. He does that in being faithful to us. Now, the second reason why God allows affliction in our lives is because it does drive us to him. It drives us to him, it drives us to his word, and it drives us in prayer. This is actually really the second stage of the first point. He allows affliction when we've strayed in order that it may drive us back to him. And so when he allows something in your life, brother or sister, don't become indignant at it and don't push it away and resist it. Welcome it and understand that God is working in you. And that he's wanting to do something that you will really recognize down the road. You'll see it down the road. Again, getting back to the sporting illustrations. You know, when you've worked and you've worked hard at what your coach tells you to do, then, and Ty, you played football before, you know. So you know this, when your coaches tell you something and you don't like it, or you didn't like it back in the day, this isn't easy, and you get into the weight room to pump more iron and to strengthen your body, and then you try to do these drills to get faster and agility and do the things. You played safety, didn't you say? So, you know, you don't handle that position and just eat donuts all day. Tell me you didn't eat donuts all day. Okay. No, you take care of your body, and you want it to be fit. And then you look down the road and you're going, man, I'm glad that I put in the training that I put in, the hard yards that I worked hard because I can see it's paying off, right? I'm looking at all the athletes in here. You guys have, yeah, it pays off. It pays off when you do that. And now in talking here about this second part, affliction happens in our life when we've strayed in order that it may bring us back to him. We take a look here at verses 69 through 72, and it says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. I will keep thy precepts, which is your word. I'm going to keep your word with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. And look what he says in verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He says, I'm grateful. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, in verse 71, that I might learn thy statutes. Be thankful for those problems and trials, for it drives us, folks, to our knees and to his word. If you'll allow it to, if I will allow it to, Lord, man, this is heavy, but it takes us and draws us. We find ourselves talking to the Lord and seeking his face, and we get into his word. It's just like a child that's walking with his daddy through the park, and then somebody's coming the opposite direction with a big dog. That little boy jumps right up in dad's arms. I've seen my kids do that many a time. Oh, keep me away from that dog, Dad. And it's the same with us, that we're to just turn unto the Lord when trials come our way. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verses 1 through 15, a good king by the name of Jehoshaphat, the Moabites and the Ammonites were threatening to attack. Jehoshaphat, he just looked unto the Lord. It says in verse 12, I'll just read this verse rather than turning to it. He says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. That was good. Jehoshaphat was a godly king, and he said, Lord, we don't know how to be able to respond to these armies that are coming against us. We don't have enough might against them, but our eyes are on you, and we'll trust you. Now, I don't know about you, but if everything is going too well in my life, I have a tendency to get lazy. Is that true? Maybe with some of you, you just start getting soft. It's part of life. Again, when you just get away from that training, you just start getting soft. And it happens when things start going too well. Yeah, I'm grateful for when things go well. And I praise the Lord for that. But I know that, again, at some point, I must get immersed back into some training, back into some difficulties to work through. Then again, folks, you know, when some problem comes my way, it does drive me to him. It drives me to him. We get earnest in a hurry, don't we? We certainly do. It's like the story of Absalom. Remember when Absalom had come back at David's request, and he was hoping to see his father David, and he hadn't seen David for quite some time, and Absalom was the one that, but Joab was the one that he was supposed to work through. And Joab would not respond to Absalom. So what did he end up doing? He ended up burning Joab's barley field. He lit it on fire. And Joab said, wherefore have thy servant set my field on fire? And he said, so I could get your attention, because I want to see my father. I want to see King David. And so the question is God allowing your barley field to be set on fire in order to get his attention? Maybe he wants to have some fellowship with you or I that he hasn't had in some time. Maybe he hasn't heard your voice in some time, and he wants to hear your voice in prayer. Maybe something that you allowed in life to get you away from the things of God, God is allowing a little bit of a disruption, a little barley field to be set on fire to get your attention to turn back to the things of the Lord. You know, sometimes, again, we as parents, we have, a knack for spoiling our children's fun. Oh, I just want to have fun, Dad. Well, you know, we're parents, all right? And we want you to advance in this life. We want you to progress and go forward. Sometimes we get their noses into their school books instead of out of the fun sometimes. We want them to learn. And I think the Lord does the same thing to get us into the book. Sometimes maybe we get caught up. Listen, if ever there was a land of distractions and anything that would pull us away, America is that place. Because we just have so many things that we can enjoy. And you know that as well as I do. And sometimes we get caught up into that. Maybe it just might be harmless things. But when it just begins to put God way back in second and third place, then the Lord's not pleased with that. The Lord says, I want to be first place. He deserves it, doesn't he? And it ought to be part of our discipline routine that we Lord, help me. I don't want to just get caught up in all of the entertainment. And listen, I could watch football game after football game. I love watching football. I love watching sports. And I've got to be careful that I don't get away from the things of God with all of that. Yeah. Maybe so the ladies in here are going, yeah. Well, what about quilting or crocheting? It doesn't do anything for me. I don't have a problem. I don't have any problem with crocheting. What's your problem here? Just get it, put it to the side, and get your eyes on the Lord. You got to humor me a little with a courtesy laugh there. Yeah, listen, we all have our own stumbling stones and things that cause us to, you know, because there's things that we love in this life. And we'll find out what it is, just spend a little time with you, and pretty soon you just start talking about it, right? So we have those, and sometimes they can end up being a problem for us, and they get us off track. Listen, when we go through those times, when God does work in our hearts, and He allows us to go through some trials, then be careful to praise the Lord for those times. Thank you, Lord, for getting hold of my attention. Thank you for lighting my barley field on fire, because I was out over there and I need to get my heart back right with you. And I need to make you priority number one. He's looking for your best. He wants us to give Him the best. And folks, let's make sure that we don't kick and scream, but just submit to Him and turn it over unto Him. And then the third reason, this last reason why the Lord allows affliction and adversity, is so that He might show to us His faithfulness and His love. He wants to show us how faithful He is and His wonderful love to us. And it says here in verses 73 through 76, it says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments. They that fear Thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in Thy word. I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right." And then he says this, "and that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." In faithfulness, Thou hast afflicted me. "Let, I pray Thee, Thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to Thy word unto Thy servant." So this last point is that He might show to us His faithfulness and His love. Remember today, Christian, how much the Lord loves you. He loves you. He loves you more than the person who loves you the most in this life, more than your mom and dad love you. And you and I, as parents, we think, oh, how is that possible? I love my kids. Nobody could surpass that. The Lord has. The Lord loves every one of you, every one of us, more than anyone else could ever. He gave His life for us. And He loves us in a tremendous way. Jeremiah 31:3 says this, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." The Lord says, I seek to draw you close to me with my love for you. Take a look here at Psalm 89. Psalm 89, we'll take a look at a few verses here. And it speaks about His faithfulness. Psalm 89 and verses 7 and 8 says, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee?" He is a great God who is faithful. And then verses 24 and 20 and 33. I'll read verse 24. This is the Lord speaking here, as he gets to this point in verse 17 or 18. It's now the Lord speaking. In verse 24, He says, "But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted." He's talking about all those who will put their trust in Him. The Lord says, my faithfulness will be all about Him. And then in verse 33, He says, "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from Him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail." I won't allow and suffer my faithfulness to fail. God is always faithful. And God will be faithful to you. He's been always faithful to me. Have I always been faithful to Him? No, not at all. But God has always been faithful. I want to just encourage you, believer, to just trust Him in the midst of your trial, whatever it is that you might be going through. Trust Him. He doesn't make any mistakes. God never makes any mistakes. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." God wants to do a good work in you, and as we simply yield unto Him. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17 that He is the only wise God. He knows all things. He knows every detail about you and your life. And He knows everything. He knows how you're wired. He knows how to work in your life. He's trying to make you and I shine brighter for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been said the gem cannot be polished without friction, nor the child of God perfected without adversity. This poem says it well. And the poet in the first part, he was along one line, and then he understood later. And he says this, "With eager heart and will on fire, I thought to win my great desire. Peace shall be mine, I said, but life grew bitter in the endless strife. My soul was weary, and my pride was wounded deep. To heaven I cried. God, give me peace, or I must die. The dumb stars glittered no reply. Broken at last, I bowed my head, forgetting all myself, and said, whatever comes, His will be done. And in that moment, peace was won." It's when we get to that point, folks, when we get to that point and realize it's not all about me. Yeah, listen, I know that. It's an ongoing struggle. I have an old nature. But I remember back in the days, back when before I even knew Christ, it was all about, whoa, it was all about me. What am I going to do? And what course am I going to set on? And you know what? That's every person's goal and their dream as far as which direction they're going to go. But yet it was still just all about me. And then after I got saved, the Lord just worked on my heart over all of these years and working in my heart. And He still works in my heart. And I'm still not attained. I still have a lot of room for improvement. Do you as well? We all do. And the idea and the hope is that it just becomes less and less about me. But I just want to submit and just let You work in my heart. And so I know what that poet was saying, because when we just submit to the Lord and say, "Lord, I want it to be about You. Help me. Help me." And then there's just a great peace. There's a peace and a joy that when you turn your life over to the Lord and just let Him direct and guide you, there's this great peace that passeth understanding. And there's a joy in your heart, and you just, "Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You. Yeah, this may be happening, but that's okay. I'd rather be going through this in my life, but have You right here and have a peace and a joy in my heart. And not have to fake a smile, but it's real. Because the Lord's so good." And I'm sure many of you know that. You, again, remain kind of eerily quiet right now. But obviously, the Lord's done that in your life. I know many of you. And when you turn things over to the Lord and you submit to Him, He gives you a peace that passeth understanding. And it's amazing. And then you look at, you know, you look at your situations, and it's not always an easy thing to do. I don't get an A+ for this. How many of you, when you know, oh man, there's some difficult things to deal with, there's a problem that I have to try to work through, there's a challenge before me, none of us look at that and, you know, rejoice. We don't throw a party. Oh yeah, I'm going into, it's my affliction party. We're going to do an affliction party. Who does that? We don't do that. But you look at that and you can say, though, if you've learned to just walk by faith and not by sight, you can be able to say, like Paul said, I've learned how to rejoice in my infirmities. Paul was able to do that because, man, that guy walked by faith and not by sight. And so he knew when he went through trials and difficulties in his life, he knew that there was something great on the other side of that problem, the other side of that challenge, the other side of that affliction. He knew that God was going to show him some things. And so he didn't just like, oh, I just can't wait till it's over. He actually would enjoy the journey through it. Now you say, can we ever get to that point? We can. We can be able to just say by faith, Lord, help me. Take me to that place where I can rejoice when these problems come my way, because problems are a part of life anyway. So it's good to be able to rejoice in the Lord as you're going through some problems and be able to say, Lord, I know you're all over this. I don't see the outcome yet, and I don't see how everything is going to play itself out, but I know, because you're in charge, that some great things are going to happen. Some good things are going to happen. That, I think Paul and Barnabas had a good, Paul and Silas had a good bit of that when they were in that jail in Philippi. And they didn't do anything wrong to get thrown into that jail. They were just preaching the gospel. But you know what they did when midnight hit and they were stuck in their fetters and in the stocks? They just started to sing and praise God, because they just knew, God, you're a great God, and it is a blessing to be able to suffer for you, and I think you're going to do something great here. And he did. He brought a man to Christ, the jailer, and his whole family, because that man saw something different in them, and an earthquake happened, and that man's life got turned upside down. And so the Apostle Paul and Silas, because they were able to just say, Lord, yeah, there's a trial here, sure, but you've got something, you're going to do something here. So I just say this to you. I say this not like I've learned this completely, because I haven't, but I do know it by experience in many ways, that when you and I go through things, if we can just praise the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. You've got something in mind here. Maybe somebody gets saved as a result of this. Help me to keep my eyes on you. Lord, help me to just submit. And I know you'll put a smile on my face, because you'll put joy in my heart. And so I say this to you because God is going to do some great things. He's going to show his faithfulness to you. He's going to show you how much he loves you. And he's going to broaden you. And he's going to use you in a way that maybe you've never been used before. God wants to give his child a peace in the midst of trial and affliction. Now, I'll just say this to anybody that's here without Christ. I certainly have spoken to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But maybe you're here without Christ. You don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. Then the Lord loves you. He died on a cross for you so that you could be saved. He died because, listen, there's not a one of us that can earn our way to heaven. We're all sinners. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Jesus died for you because there's just nothing you can do about your sin. Only the blood can wash it away, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so Christ gave his life for you. If you're here without Christ, he was buried. He rose again from the grave. And now he's at the right hand of the Father, and he wants to come into your life. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah. And if you'll trust Jesus Christ today, well, the angels and God himself will be rejoicing up in heaven that you got saved. And if God's working on your heart, then I want to encourage you to come up here. We'll show you from God's word how you can be saved. But for you and I as believers, yeah, we're going to go through some more trials. And those trials might be broadened. They might be bigger down the road. Well, don't let it intimidate you. Just realize you've got the Lord with you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So God, just one person with God is a majority right there. So you're already on the winning side. Right? We're on the winning side. We just read the end of the book. And we're with the Lord. He's with us right now, but we're going to be with him one day and face to face. And so as you go through some trials, just you and I, just give them to the Lord. Say, Lord, you've got this. You know, that's a big thing. You've got this. Yeah. Only the Lord's got this. He's got it if we'll just turn it over unto him. Let's all bow our heads. We'll go before the Lord in prayer in just a moment. With your heads bowed, maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart today in regard to maybe some trials and some adversities, some afflictions that you're going through and you wonder about it. Sometimes we're even tempted to say, Lord, do you even know what I'm going through? I don't even sense that you're close here. Even David was tempted to say that now and then, a man after God's own heart. And so listen, we're just flesh, And we might go down that road, but let me encourage you, don't stay down that road. Turn around and come back to the Lord and recognize and realize that He loves you. That these things happen in our life because, listen, we're prone to stray. And He allows these things in our life to bring us back to Him. And then He allows these things in our life to show us that He's faithful and that He loves us. And the Bible is so full of this. It's clear from the beginning all the way to the end. And so maybe if you're here without that encouragement right now, then I hope that you're encouraged today to know the Lord's there. He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll encourage you. And if you're here without Christ, we would love to see you get saved. Father, we thank You today. Thank You for Your blessed word. Thank You, Lord, for trials and afflictions. I know that, yeah, there's not always times I'm thankful for it. Sometimes I can find myself complaining. And maybe some of us do that are here. Lord, help us to realize that through trials, through difficulties, through some losses, through some reversals that we would not have wanted, You can do some great things. Maybe You're trying to get our attention. Maybe we've strayed and we've got our eyes on something that we shouldn't have it on. Maybe we've just become so distracted and gotten away from the things of God. Would You help us, Lord, to get our eyes and our focus on You? And Lord, I pray for anybody here without Christ that they'd get saved and trust You as their Savior. Thank You again for the things You allow in our lives. They don't just happen by accident. You're watching out over everything that happens in our life. And You have a great plan for them. Help us to learn how to submit to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.